Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Another episode of Bootstrap Web. Brian, this looks like it's going to be the last one of the year.
Yep. Another year of Bootstrap Web.
Another year. We've been doing this a while, bro. What is it, 3 years
we
now?
We have. Is it almost 3 years? Wow.
I really have no idea, but it feels like that.
I know that, like, we don't really count episodes, I don't think, anymore on the website, but in our files here, I think we're up to like 165, something like that.
Okay. So what were we talking about back then?
Who knows?
Who knows?
I don't even want to know. We should have pulled up last year's episode. I didn't even do that. I don't even know what we were talking about for the goals for this year, but I know that they are way different 12 months later than what actually happened. So
yes, that would be interesting to go back. Yeah, I'm going to do that on my own time. Anyway, hope everyone listening is getting ready for December, for the holidays, get some family time, some downtime. You know, I don't know. There's two different approaches that I hear to December. It's, oh, it's quiet, let me recharge. Or, oh, everyone's being quiet, let me go crazy and make progress.
I think I'm in the latter camp. We've got like some family stuff going on this weekend, which will be a fun kind of change of pace. But you know what? Actually, audience ops tends to be pretty busy in December. I know a lot of companies like have a slowdown because of the holidays. For us, almost every December, I think we've had a really big surge in new signups and all this stuff. And that definitely happened this week. So,
oh, that's good. That's good. We've got quieter. We're at about half our regular volume of like signups and trials and all that. So it was just kind of a chilling out overall. Like Black Friday was, you know, bonkers. You know, we have some stuff going on, but generally everything's slowing down. So, you know, we've made the analogy before of pulling back the string on the crossbow. And that's what December feels like. So it's all geared and aimed toward like an assault in the first week of January. Like, how do we just amass all the forces to just boom all at once?
I'm focusing all of this month right now on building the new productized course. And a lot of the craziness that kind of happens with audience ops and team and like team changes and client emails and that kind of stuff, like that does tend to calm down, although we did have a bunch of new signups, but that really doesn't take a lot of my time except for just sending them onto the team and they kind of take care of it. But so I do like to use this slowdown to get a lot of work done on stuff, and I'm working on productize right now. That's coming along.
Nice. Yeah, we have a lot of shame and embarrassment happening in the company right now. We have a bunch of new people. When there's someone new, like you increase the capacity. And so what happened, like, let's just say customer success. Like, we just hired a second person. So the first person was like totally overwhelmed. He's doing sales, he's doing demos, he's doing everything. So you can't do everything. So when someone new comes in and then we look at something and we're like, well, that's just an embarrassment, what we have in this particular thing, that this is really what we have. And then you look around at each other and we're like, I guess we can fix that now. I guess we should fix it because we have enough.
That's why you're here.
So we keep finding, like, looking into like these dark corners that have been ignored, being like, Jesus, that's really how we're doing that. And then all of a sudden addressing it because now there are multiple people. So it's been kind of a funny process.
That's great. And, you know, I'm just kind of rolling along with the software stuff. I'm doing a really bad job of tracking this, but we're getting a bunch of signups for Ops Calendar. I know that some are coming from my audience, and I also know that some are not. Like, they're just randomly coming to it, like Googling it and stuff, or like organically, and we're getting signups. And I actually took your advice from the last episode. I was doing this manually before, but I just now put an automated drip email that I think it goes out 2 hours after the trial signup happens. And it's just like it's a drip email, but it's a personal email from me that says like, hey, thanks for signing up. I'd love to get on a call and do a free demo with you or at least just send me, I don't know. I forgot exactly what I wrote in that email, but like I'm asking them for feedback. I think we had something like 5 or 6 trial signups in the last week. I think 4 of them actually replied to that email, you know, and a lot of them are like really long, you know, detailed requests and stuff. So it's been pretty cool.
Very nice. Very nice. Yeah, we just keep doubling down on that. We had a nice drip disaster this week. We screwed one thing up and then realized that our new signups were going through the wrong workflow. So like congratulations, thanks for signing up for a $300 a month product. We're just not going to send you a welcome email. And then like 3 days later, we'll send you like email number 4 in the onboarding sequence. And then on day 9, we'll be like, you need any help with anything?
and then you're like trying to like market them some other product.
Yes.
Like.
Yes. Yes. Yep. So that's what was happening for the past like 2 weeks. And we're like, Jesus, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, right now I don't have any other onboarding except for I have like in the app, we have some videos, some KB docs, but like, I just have the one email after they sign up, and that's
okay. It. That's a start.
You know, it's a start. So
yeah. A lot of humbling activity over the past few months. The experience of the past few months has been fun because you know how people talk about like growth is great, but it will mask problems. Well, we had a tidal wave of growth, and then it just all left, and the beach is scattered with bodies, my friend.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So it definitely exposed a lot of weaknesses. The good thing is it feels like, okay, we still have a lot to improve, which means there's a lot more to get better. And then there's a lot more growth after that. Okay, let's do it.
Right. Right. All right. Well, let's get into our year end episode. I think what we'll try to do is we'll look back on 2017. I listed out a few kind of lessons learned if I had to like boil it down to just a few things. And then I guess we'll call them like 2018 goals, but I don't really like that word for it anymore because goals never stay in place very long.
What are they? Are they like predictions? Are they general sense of a direction that's going to go? Or, I mean, I can appreciate people who say you know specific goals are very helpful. I can see that. It does feel trivial to just guess what you know what's exactly going to happen.
That's the conclusion I'm coming to. I'm thinking about it more like 2018 themes or like the like new approaches that I want to take in 2018. But I'm not like I think last year, a year ago, I was like, I'm going to launch this, and this, and this is what I'm going to do in quarter one. And then by quarter three, we'll be launching this. Quarter four, we're going to be doing that. And like those plans totally changed within just a matter of months.
Right.
And,
like, I remember being scared by your goals last
year. I know. I scared myself. Like 3 months in, I was like, oh, screw that.
That's good. Now, I have a few key numbers that I am fixated on. I'm saying I want to add, you know, an average of X amount in MRR per month over the year. That means by the end of the year, I want to be at a particular MRR. Like, so I have a few key numbers, but not like by the end of this month, this thing and this other thing. And it's more general on the way there.
Just thinking about numbers, I don't have exactly like specific numbers like revenue numbers, but I'm thinking about it more like for this coming year 2018, different allocation. I want revenue to be allocated in different places in 2018 than it is now. So yeah, we'll get into it. Why don't we start with 2017? I've got about 4 things listed, so like boiling down to different lessons. Do you have stuff for 2017?
For 2017, you know, it is always healthy to look back in the aggregate for the year. Because I don't know about you, it's very rare that right now I just feel fantastic and I'm skipping around saying, isn't everything amazing? That's rare. But looking back, and really what this is like a preview of my end of year investor update, right? It's one of the good things about having investors is that you feel compelled to like summarize and tell people what's been going on. So that the end of year investor update is a very split personality, which is exactly where the company is right now. If you look in the aggregate, 2017 was spectacular. Gangbusters, can't really ask for that much more. The vanity metrics are, let's see what the vanity metrics. We went from 4 people to 14 people. We went from processing $5,000 a day to processing $1 million a day. MRR has gone up by 350%. Those are the, okay, you had an amazing year, right? Everybody, let me let the applause die down. But in reality, it was very humbling to basically be exposed for just not being nearly as awesome as you think you are. Going from 4 to 14 people means you have to start managing people, and then you realize, oh, I have no idea how to manage people. Okay, I'm a newbie on that. And then the growth is awesome, but then all of a sudden, you know, I ramped up expenses along with that. So now the pressure is way up. And yeah, also all these things have a counterpoint. All those vanity metrics that sound great have a mirror image of each other that's darker. That's okay. Well, now you need to learn a whole new set of things. For example, we've been really focused on our tech and QA process because we want to do bigger releases, go faster, but not introduce issues into the system because of the nature of our product. When you introduce problems, it shakes people's confidence. So it's dangerous. And we've done a little too much over the past few months. We want to eliminate it. So I have been learning about like the function of a CTO and tech process and the difference between quality control and QA and all these things that I've been running a software company for 3 years. I had no idea about this stuff. So my 2017 looking back is, okay, have to be happy with the overall performance, but it's very clear that there's a huge amount of pressure on the skill set needing to go up. So remember we talked about, I haven't really been into blog posts. I haven't really been into advice. I kind of know what I need to do. And now that's changing. 2018 looks like it needs to be like, I got to read books. I need to go to conferences. I need to really learn and get better, a lot better. Otherwise, it's not going to work out the way it should.
Yeah. I mean, just talking to you every week, it has been pretty exciting to see the growth and just the really like the transformation of Cardhook in the last year. I mean, you guys are, like you said, like 4 to 12 people and the MRR growth. I mean, it's pretty impressive stuff. Obviously, for most people listening, you know, it's never, I mean, I think for everyone, there's always a tough side that it's not always visible on the surface. As exciting as growing a startup is, in many ways, it does not get easier. It only gets harder. 2017 for me was just a really roller coaster year. A lot of really tough, bad lows and then some pretty good recoveries, I'll say. Getting away from the numbers for a second, I did know that back in January 2017, December last year, I was expecting 2017 to be not a big growth year because I was definitely diving into a big investment year into like, I want to reshape the whole product line and expand into SaaS and do all these different products and all that. And I think in that sense, it was kind of a success overall. Looking back overall, it was a long, slow period, but now a year later, the products that I wanted to have in place actually are in place. We're still working on them, but heading into January 2018, I'm like ready to step on the gas marketing wise for Ops Calendar, the SaaS product, but I've got a number of other, so Productize is going to relaunch with a whole new marketing strategy for that, all new product there. And I've actually have another software product in the works that I haven't talked about yet. Kind of a shiny object thing that popped up this year. I could maybe talk a bit more about that in a minute, but without saying what it is. In that sense, like product-wise, I accomplished that goal of like growing beyond the productized service, getting into more software, and really thinking strategically and working towards building a better line of different products that I can go into 2018 and build a more cohesive multi-product marketing strategy around, if you will.
the value ladder that we talked about and different entry points and different price points. So it does sound like 2017, you expanded, and it's really hard to grow everything as you're expanding, right? It's almost like
yes, but I think there was another layer of pain to that was also happening in 2017, which was basically going back to the end of 2016 when I made the decision to pull the trigger and start investing in building the SaaS. I did a whole validation process. I had pre-sales and all this. And I had a bunch of profits saved up in a business savings account. Audience Ops was growing like crazy. In the first 2 years of Audience Ops, it was on this trajectory to really grow big. And that was the end of the summer 2016. Into the fall of 2016, I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go ahead with this. And then starting at the end of 2016, probably like November 2016, lasting until I'd say March into April 2017, it was just a slow kind of string of cancellations with Audience Ops. And that was after I started investing big time into the developers for Ops Calendar.
Right. So right as you're investing, the revenue doesn't go where it's expected to go.
Yeah. And I mean, we were still signing up new clients. So it wasn't like a cliff. It was just a slow drip downwards. And we had, and we still had like a lineup of really solid clients that, that haven't gone anywhere. But we had some like newer clients who had signed up in 2016 who didn't last very long into 2017, combined with a slowdown in sales. We had some sales, but that slowed down as well. So for the first, like, so that was like a 6 month process of it kind of slowing down. So it took me like 3 months to realize that it was like not just a holiday slowdown and not just this and that. It was actually like a real trend. And so, so then that kind of shook me off my game a little bit. I had to pause some of the development on Ops Calendar. I had to reshake some of my marketing strategy for Audience Ops. One of my big lessons learned in Audience Ops was to improve our onboarding process, which almost overnight fixed all of those churn problems. Out of that painful period, that also resulted in, I think right now we probably have the lowest churn rate that we've had yet. It's amazing how important onboarding is, specifically for a productized service. Like, it's important for SaaS too, but I think it's even more for a service, because like if you make the first month a total, like knock it out of the ballpark and just really like over communicate and set expectations. And this even goes into the sales process before they even sign up. Just really set crystal clear expectations and just nail down your processes with the team. If you can just like hit a home run on after the first month, the client is so much more likely to kind of work with you to make this thing work for the long term. And it sets everyone up for success. It helps us help the client better. And I think we made some improvements internally that really helped. Part of the other painful thing early in the year was that I had a bunch of the team and a lot of the costs were really eating away while I was investing in Ops Calendar and while the revenue was kind of stagnating. So that was just really painful. But then, you know, by April, I think April is when sales started to pick up again. I improved some things on the sales front. I did some marketing things that helped, and we improved churn. And so now, like the summer into the rest of the year, Audience Ops has been growing again, which is nice. And that allowed me to kind of restart Ops Calendar and do a big new push into that these past few months. So that's just been like a roller coaster ride, like on both sides of my business, and just mentally, it's been taking a toll, I think, all year long. Just like, you know, after the toughest thing I think of this past year was like after 2015 and 2016 of just steady, crazy growth in Audience Ops, that did not last. Like it's back to growing now, but it's not as fast as it was then. And like that mentally, that fucks with you, you know?
Yeah. And it's really hard to be in that situation where things are growing quickly and just convince yourself, I will not assume that this is going to continue, because it feels like, oh, this is now how it is now because I'm awesome. So clearly it's just going to keep going like this. This is something I learned from my working with my dad, because he was, you know, when you come here with like a family and you can't mess around, there is no support system. There's like nobody else. Like if you screw up, you like, you don't have a house. Like, so it's unacceptable to screw up. He would always just take, okay, here's what we think is going to happen. Here's what would be nice if it happened. Here's the downside, and here's the disaster version. And what happens if we just assume that the disaster is going to happen? Let's just make sure that everything's fine, even if the disaster happens. And then you start to plan, okay, how do we make the best possible thing happen? But my math tells me that even if the disaster happens, still good.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I think that's really smart. And I think I made a lot of like investment decisions, like investing in the product at a time when things were growing so fast. And then I was kind of, I didn't want to abandon that because that had a lot of momentum. I was a little bit too slow to fix some of the cost issues in Audience Ops, but those have been now fixed. So the whole business is a little bit more scalable up and down. So as things kind of got better in the summer, that's when I started to, or like late summer is when I started to reinvest in software development. And that's when I hired a couple of new developers, and one I had to let go pretty quickly. I talked about that, but then one stuck with. So right now I have two kind of almost full-time developers and one part-time developer working on Ops Calendar. And I did a whole big push with them. And I think through that process, through the whole past year of building Ops Calendar, I really developed just a whole software development process internally for myself. Like I've been involved in web projects before and I've worked on software projects, but like now I have so much more confidence for myself and just the experience now to go in and build a SaaS product. Obviously, this is not a successful SaaS product by any means, but like just the mechanics of it, like working with like Laravel and getting and hiring developers and a whole like development process and a GitHub workflow and all this kind of stuff. Like, and my strengths where I can add a lot of value, like on the design and the user experience and the front end, and then how I work with developers. And so now I'm just really excited that like that's a new kind of competency in my business that I can just continue on into 2018. One of the frustrating things that happened in 2017 was I talked about how I had to pause the developers because of cash flow issues. But then I was ready to restart again. But they were not ready. They had other projects. So it was like I had to wait like another 2 months to get them back on board. And that's what started me to hire new people. And so now I'm like, I don't want to let my developers go anywhere. I need to keep feeding them work, you know?
There's danger in that because it could throw everything off.
And so what happened was I had this other SaaS product idea. This came about it actually came about several years ago, and then I held off on it and never did it. It's kind of like a scratch your own itch, kind of produce a byproduct out of something that you're using anywhere way type of tool kind of thing.
Okay, that's interesting.
And so I'll talk more about it in the next few months. But what happened was I had a bit of shiny object syndrome, a bit of like mental like craziness with the business going everywhere. Back in the summer, I started designing and started speccing out this like second SaaS product. It's a simpler kind of, not as complex as Ops Calendar, but anyway, I specced it out. But then decided to wait. I'm going to pause on that. I got to stay focused on Ops Calendar.
Yes, you do.
And then I did the whole sprint that we've just kind of wrapped up now over the past 2 or 3 months with the guys, and we made a lot of progress on it. And now we're in December, and I think we hit a goal in terms of the product where I don't want to continue to build out new features in Ops Calendar until we get more users in it and getting more feedback and stuff like that. And more marketing going. So I don't want to just let my developer go or reduce all of his hours and let him get tied up with other projects. So I was like, how can I keep him busy? I had this shiny object idea from like months ago that was actually like, but I had already done all the work of like designing it and writing out all the specs and like getting it started. I did spend a few hours with him this past week, like getting it rolling, but that's his project now for the next month or two while Ops Calendar is in this. So now I have like one developer who's still working on Ops Calendar and one who's now working on this other product.
Ooh, so excited. I'm a little worried. I'm worried, but I'm excited.
but it's like we're reusing all of our same workflows. I have a rapport with this guy now. Like it's like kind of up and running, you know. And we're using a lot of the same systems, the same like you know. So it's
not to over-engineer it, get it launched.
Yeah, and we're even improving things like a lot of the I think mistakes that I made early on with Ops Calendar, we're doing even more efficiently with the second thing. But again, I still think Ops Calendar will be the focus going forward. And this is really just more of like a smaller side tool that I'm going to be using it anyway. And then we're going to kind of release it for other people to use. I know we're just kind of jumping all over the place. This episode has no structure, but
whatever. No, it's just what we're thinking about at the end of the year. You look back and then you look forward.
Yeah, I got a couple other things, but why don't we bounce it back over to you?
2018, I think, is going to be, you know what it is? Regardless of what issues are currently happening right now, I just still have a very high level of confidence that we can tackle them. The biggest challenge of 2017 was tech. Technology was our weakness. The market, we knew that we were building something that the market wanted. And we had to make these constant trade-offs. We had two engineers for a really long time, up until I think July or August. And we had to keep making trade-offs between speed and stability. We kept going back and forth. And then, okay, now we're in the speed phase. Now we're in the stability phase. Now we're in speed. And that was just really challenging for two engineers to deal with. And then for Ben to run the product side, it was a challenge. So it feels very much like we are just scratching the surface on the potential of the like business and revenue growth. But it will not happen without the tech, which is why, you know, we talked about our growth went very quickly through Q3, and then in Q4, it's been leveling off. So with that leveling off, we've just kind of said, well, now is the time. Now is the time to set ourselves up to be able to have a much more stable tech process and platform so that we can add the other features and functionality that the market wants while being very confident in marketing it and growing the user base, that the platform's not going to break and bugs aren't going to slow things down and support won't be bogged down and all that. So that's 2018. My thoughts for 2018 are all about how do we make sure that we don't have that same back and forth and back and forth between speed, stability. And it's much more about consistency. And then the business side is what we've kind of built up the most and where we've invested the most in the past few months. So we are overgunned, you know, the surfing terminology in terms of like a big wave and little wave. Sometimes I like saying this, like I've surfed since I was in college, but it's a good analogy. Sometimes on little waves, if your board's too big, it's no fun and you're overgunned. You're like, all right, cool. Hopefully the waves get bigger. In our situation, that's where we are. We are over. We have a head of content. We have two people in success. We have two people in support. We have a marketer. We're kind of overbuilt on that side, but it's all in anticipation, and it's a gamble that I really, really want to make sure that it looks like a good gamble. Somewhere right around September 1st, which very much like your situation, actually, September 1st, I said, okay, I have two choices. I can go slow on hiring and spending and get revenue further along and take the safer route. And then once revenue is further along, then start hiring. And the upside of that is just a safer financial path. And the downside of that is that's going to be too late because it takes time to hire people and get them on board and up to speed. And so we'll be 2 to 3 months behind on our marketing success support functions. And that will deter, it will retard the ability to grow. The other option is, okay, start spending now, increase expenses with the anticipation that the tech will get better. And when it does get better, everyone's up to speed, everyone's fully staffed, and then it's boom, and they will get the full effect of having a team that's up to speed. That was the gamble, September 1st. Of course, it coincided exactly with things stopping to go straight up and to the right. And so now I'm stressed, but I still think it was the right thing because now we're locked and loaded, baby. We're ready to roll on the marketing side. And I have full confidence in the tech while it's not, you know, while it's been a bit painful the past few months, that they'll get it and they'll get it to a point that it's consistent and stable enough that the marketing side can be unleashed without being slowed down by tech issues.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like when these like investments happen, like right after a whole big wave of growth, and then the growth stops after you've kind of pulled the trigger. And that exactly happened to me in 2016, and then in 2017, I did make the same calculation again in the fall of 2017, was to hire a bunch of new developers and hustle on do a sprint of all these new features in Ops Calendar rather than just kind of bootstrap along with my, although I'm still bootstrapping, but like with the one developer or two developers kind of chugging along and do like a feature a week, you know, for a long stretch of time. I want to get the product to where it needs to be in 2 months. And I think we actually did that. I mean, now marketing has to catch up. I sent this email to the Ops Calendar early access list, which is not really very, very big at this point, but it's sent it last week. And I was like, all right, here's a list of 10 new features that I should have been telling you about for the past 10 weeks, but I don't know. Here they are. Just so you know, we launched all this stuff. Just trying to catch up, you know, and there's all these like marketing things that I'm going to kind of get rolling in early 2018. You know, like 2018, I think for me is going to be much more about marketing. So like 2017 was about get the product line reshaped and get things in order. to get new products in place to start marketing. And then 2018 will be to do that big marketing push. And what I would like to do is, because right now Audience Ops is finally in a really good place. We've gone through the fast growth phase, but during that phase, I was still building a lot of the systems and optimizing the systems. And then we went through kind of a little rough patch there. And so then I had to work again on reducing churn and refining our systems to reduce churn and really optimize every step of the experience for clients. Did that over the summer. And so now it's like growing again. I've got a solid team in place again. And so now I can be much more hands-off with Audience Ops, and that's kind of funding everything that I do. So now it's really all about how can I diversify the product line and grow the revenue and profit on the other parts of the business other than Audience Ops. That's really the big goal for 2018.
Yeah. You have any like ideas on specifics on, I know what we're doing a webinar next week on Tuesday. And what we've done is we've just marketed to our existing list, and it's basically practice. It's okay, let's go through this process. And we're like doing it fully legit. So we didn't just send an email, but we also are running Facebook ads to a custom audience of our existing list. So we're like, we're doing everything, and then we're seeing, okay, what are we going to learn from this so that in January we can start doing webinars once a week or once every 2 weeks?
I'm going to have like some more specific marketing stuff for Ops Calendar in 2018, but really the big picture is I decided that I'm going to kind of embrace the fact that like if I focus on my personal stuff, everything else kind of trickles down from there. Because like for a long time, I was like, you know, I'm going to put my personal stuff to the side. I need to get funnels working for Audience Ops specifically and Ops Calendar specifically. And eventually I'll have those things built out as well. But at the end of the day, I found that like 90% of like the customers and clients that have come in come from my personal audience, you know?
Yeah, you can go with it or try to fight it.
And I have the productized product, which is still a very significant revenue and profit center in my business. Like it's significant. So that's like a top of funnel product, if you will. Not that every member of Productize would necessarily be a fit for Audience Ops or for Ops Calendar, but people who find those products tend to also find my other stuff or maybe one before the other. You know, I'm launching the new Productize course in January 2018, and I'm going to have some marketing funnels built around that, paid traffic to get people to my personal list and to webinars for Productize. And then on the back end of that, there's more marketing that ties into this is what Audience Ops is, and this is what Ops Calendar is, and these are how these products came about and why they exist and who they're for. That's kind of how I'm going to tie them all together. But then, you know, again, I'm also going to build out specific paid traffic, webinars, cold email outreach, things specifically for Ops Calendar. One of the things like I need to get better at maybe mentally is just that like I need to stop. I know that in the past I've not let marketing experiments run for long enough. I feel like I tend to just like turn them off if I don't see results right away.
As opposed to tweaking them and changing them and kind of sticking.
Yeah. Yeah. And really just like traffic wise, like I've been okay with generating like organic traffic and a lot of like kind of loyalty in my list, and I get really high open rates and really good engagement on my content and stuff like that. But when I'm doing like paid traffic and trying to like double or triple our traffic and leads, like I need to be more aggressive with that stuff and stay aggressive for a longer period of time. And so I think now that like between the recent Black Friday sale and Audience Ops has really picked up in the last month, like I actually have a lot of firepower to play with going into 2018 now. So, you know, I want to set like a real marketing budget that no matter what, I'm going to spend this budget every month and figure out what's going to be the right mix of channels to work
with. Right. Search for the holy channel.
Yeah. I want to kind of send this question to you, but like what about you personally in terms of your role and the things that you spend your time on day to day? Like, has that changed in 2017? Do you see that changing in 2018? Like I have some thoughts for myself, but
in my what I do day to day?
Yeah, like in the business.
it's hard to even say. It's very weird what I do during the day. It's not that I've hired myself out of the job. It's not that I've hired people to do what I used to do. It's that I was genuinely bad at doing it. And now we hired people who are actually doing it. Like if I'm honest with myself, I'm just not that good at executing on tasks and focusing on them and getting it launched. And, you know, I talk about it because I know what I want to get done. And then I'm not good at doing it. That's just me being very honest.
I think the role that you're in is the strategic direction. And
right. Which is now finally looking like a reasonable thing. When it was just a few of us, it was not good. That's kind of what I'm learning about myself, at least, that I'm not good at a very, very small team situation, because I'm a great talker and motivator and strategy on what the market wants and what we should do and what the ideal thing is and what the ideal partnership is. But I'm not really actually good at executing stuff day to day. The one thing that I am genuinely good at is partnerships. That's how we've grown the business.
I would push back on that, because I think you're really good at making strategic directional decisions. Like maybe the day-to-day management and the execution, but that stuff should be delegated to a better manager, right?
Right.
But
it was weird though when it was four of us and I was the only person in marketing, and I really wasn't generating that much marketing activity. We've kind of made it through on those strategic decisions of the Shopify market is enormous and on fire right now, and they want this thing that doesn't exist. Let's put all our chips on building that thing. So like, yes, but that's not a day-to-day task and activity. That part's good. So we've hired not for what I used to do, we've hired for what I should have been doing the whole time. I'm in a better place for my skill set and personality, which is leading people, motivating people, making strategic decisions, and forming partnerships. So I think I will be better at this job than I was at the previous job.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think looking back on 2017, definitely the days, like the hours of the days that I enjoyed doing what I'm doing the most, and I actually felt the most productive and making the most progress, was working on the software products, like designing, doing front-end code, working through the product iterations with the developers. And I was spending most of my morning hours for this year, but especially the last few months on that. And I love that. Like that's what I love to do. And I think these products are actually turning out really, really solid. And we've got a really good workflow in place. And it's been fun for me to be one person working with like two developers, like this small little team atmosphere from across the world over Slack, basically. I'm looking forward to just being able to do more of that and actually having a budget to play with there now and just continue to make progress on these products. Because like, it's not just playing around. Like these are actually real assets that will, you know, grow and expand the business, I think. So on the marketing front, I think I don't delegate enough, and I should. Like what you were just saying, I don't execute really well. I have some really good ideas. I can make a good marketing plan. I can map out a good funnel. I'm pretty good when it comes to like the back end email automation kind of stuff. I like to set that up, but especially when it comes to paid traffic and optimizing that and really monitoring it day to day, week to week, I usually don't follow through as much as I'd like to. So I might look to hire help with that as we go into 2018. I want to be spending my mornings working on product and my afternoons driving marketing. That's kind of the plan. And I mean, I'm in between that, I still do sales calls for audience ops. I don't have an immediate plan to hire salespeople for that. I still enjoy doing sales calls for audience ops.
It's a high enough price ticket that it's fine. If you were doing it for 50 a month at a time, it'd be hard.
So I do a few of those a week, and they're so the sales system is so dialed in at this point. Like they see the whole demo recorded before they even talk to me. So it's like, right, it's once I talk to them, it's kind of just like it's teed up, and I'm just talking to another founder, just kind of answering a few questions, and like I enjoy that. And then when they sign up, I just pass them on to the team. So, you know, I'm totally cool with that role in audience ops. But other than that, and I'll coach the team a little bit, but we've got a really great team manager who helps out with that. And I'm really not spending a ton of hours in the audience ops business. And then I, you know, with Productize and just my personal brand stuff, I haven't been writing as much on the blog, on my personal blog. I have been sending to the email list. I've been doing the Friday notes fairly regularly, not every Friday, but, and then I'm doing the Productize podcast, which has gone really well. I think that's started to pick up in listenership in the last few weeks.
Why don't you put that email content online?
Well, my thinking there was that like the articles that I'm doing on the blog, I want them to be evergreen. And
okay, like business topics.
Yeah, the stuff that I send to my email list is real time. This is what happened. Here's what's happening behind the scenes in my business this month. A little bit of what we talk about here in the podcast, but like there's other stuff that I try to, it follows a structure. Like this is the problem that I solved this week. This is how I solved it. And here are my goals for next week and a few links that you might find helpful. So I'm going to try to continue that. I've been really enjoying the Productize podcast. I've got an awesome editor who's been helping with that. And he's going to start to, I already talked to him about ramping up his role a bit to do some outbound guest research and inviting guests and try to produce the show a bit more. So that I'm excited about that. I'd like to do some more video stuff. I started to do some of that this year. I'm not very good at it. I want to get better at it, but I think that can be a good addition. And then with the Productize course, it's definitely going to follow the closed model. It's only going to open up a few times per year. I'm not exactly sure what the cadence will be, but I think that'll probably depend on my other stuff, the ops calendar stuff and whatever else I'm busy with. Like if I could fit in a launch in a month, then I'll do it. If I can't fit it in, then I'm just not going to do it. But I'll have some live webinar funnels happening for that and just kind of continuous, you know, traffic coming into the list for that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what happens to that. Because in my head, my hope for you is that you find a repeatable process that works to market that course. And it's just more reliable and consistent. And then it's like, okay, that part is handled. I know about what it's going to do in revenue. I know what I need to do. It's not like a big mystery. And then it's just on repeat. Because then it sounds like it's doable over a long period of time.
Yeah. I mean, that's the goal. And I'm actually really excited about the new version of the course. It's like, it's pretty long, but it's like, it's so much better because it gets so much more advanced than what the first version was.
That's good. It keeps coming up. When I talk to just, you know, business people in general, I'm here at a WeWork in Portland. I just get it regularly. People are like, man, I just, the inconsistency of this consulting thing, it's rough. I'm like, dude, I know this guy.
Yeah. That was me. That was my life. And there are so many freelancers and consultants who just go by the hour and it's up and down and it's like feast and famine. And then,
you know, it's painful. It's painful. I know one of them who's an excellent consultant, but because it's so inconsistent, she's considering taking a job at another consulting firm just because she has a family. It's tough.
Yeah.
So. All right, man. Well, look, I got to go downstairs. My wife is coming down and bringing our baby. So we're just going to blow people's minds with cuteness. Yep.
You'll get my card in the mail pretty soon, but I got
did,
yours.
Did you get mine?
That's a good looking family over there, Gal. Oh,
thanks, man. Appreciate it. That's my wife's doing right there. Not only pretty the cool. good looking part, but also the card and all. Don't plan on any new kids in 2018. No more kids.
Nope. I think we're closing up shop over there.
Yep. That's all done.
Yep.
Cool, man. Well,
good stuff, man. Well, Merry Christmas. If I don't talk to you.
Happy Hanukkah. Happy New Year. Happy Kwanzaa. What else is there? Whatever else there is.
I think you got them all. Happy New Year, everyone. Be good.
Talk to you soon, bud.